Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. Always feel free to get in touch with me. You can write to bruce@catholicsportsradio.net or even DM me through the @CathSportsRadio Instagram account or send a private message through the Facebook page. There are links to those social media accounts and Twitter as well on the show website, catholicsportsradio.net, where you can also sign up for free for the new weekly e-newsletter. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. When I contact a potential guest for this show, I always tell them in that first contact that on Catholic Sports Radio, I don't report scores or talk about wins and losses or statistics. If you've been listening long enough, you know that, as I'm saying to them, I leave the sports reporting to ESPN and Fox Sports and the like. However, I do have to acknowledge the massive brawl that took place in Major League Baseball recently. Wow. Things got so out of hand, including the benches having emptied when the Seattle Mariners were taking on the Los Angeles Angels, that a combined total of 12 players and coaching staff were suspended. I know. It's a competitive environment, heat of the moment, sticking up for teammates, I know. But let's go into the Bible and read in the New Testament a passage that we all need to keep close, whether we're competing in sports or in a potentially volatile situation in traffic, in the supermarket, at work, or somewhere else where there's the potential to abandon our Christian core and our Catholic values. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32 say, "All bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, and reveling must be removed from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you in Christ." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is a highly accomplished figure skater, including being a U.S. figure skating quadruple gold medalist. She has been both a national and international competitor in her sport, finishing top 10 at the 2014 U.S. National Solo Dance Championships, 1 year after having been U.S. National Champion Senior Theater on Ice. She was also the 2013 Nations Cup Silver Medalist, Senior Theater on Ice, and the 2012 U.S. National Bronze Medalist, Senior Theater on Ice. She has even performed at Central Park, as well as in the U.S. Synchronized Championship opening ceremonies. On the faith side, she is a Catholic novelist with two books out and another coming in September. Plus, she has written for multiple Catholic publications, including America Magazine, among others. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Victoria Everly.
Hey, Bruce. Happy to be here.
Thank you, Victoria. I'm looking forward to this. Without even directly coming out and asking the question, I usually somehow find out in the lead up to an interview where the guest is located, but I'm not sure I know what part of the U.S. you live in. So where are you calling in from today? And by chance, is it also where you were born and raised or no?
So I'm calling in from just north of Boston, which is where I live with my husband and daughter. And I was not raised here, although we do live in the town where my husband grew up. I was raised in Connecticut. So it's really not that far. It's about 2.5 hours from where I live right now. And I grew up in a Catholic family. So I was cradle Catholic, and my grandparents on both sides and aunts and uncles and cousins were all Catholic. So it was pretty much the only thing that I knew. And I feel very blessed that I grew up in a family that took us to church every week. And by the grace of God, I grew up with the belief that this was super important. This was going to be a lifelong thing. And I'm so grateful for that.
And brothers and sisters, what was the family size?
I have an older brother and a younger sister.
Okay. Okay. Well, way, way back in January of 2020, on episode 50 of this show, 50, my guest was Rachel Popchak, who was a competitive figure skater from 8 years old all the way through college. Victoria, how about you? When and how did you get started into figure skating?
So I started skating when I was 9, which is considered old for the figure skating sport. And my mom actually is a figure skating coach. And so even from before I was born, she was coaching figure skating, but I was not interested in it. In fact, one of the first times she had me try, I was so scared and timid on the ice. I was clinging to the boards, crying, and I just did not want to continue. So she said, fine, you don't have to keep doing it. So I didn't. And then when I was 9, we had taken a family trip somewhere, and there was an outdoor ice rink, and I saw my mom sort of do a couple figure skating moves, and I saw that my sister, who was also skating at that time, kind of show off, and I felt like I was the worst skater in our family, and it just lit this fire in me, and I decided I wanted to learn how to skate. And so from that point on, when I was 9, I really committed myself to skating, and I competed through college, even though figure skating is not a scholastic or collegiate sport, but I purposely chose a university that was near the area that I wanted to train. And then after quote unquote retiring from, you know, the amateur competitive world, I started to do some professional competitions, and those are way more laid back, and it's really about more of, I don't want to say the joy of skating, but in some ways the rules are just so different, and I actually came to enjoy that part of it a lot more.
I think what you're saying is it's more entertainment than it is competition.
Yes, definitely. And also I think that at that point, when you're in a pro competition, you know the end goal isn't the Olympics. You're not trying to make the Olympics or trying to get on Team USA. And so I found a freedom in being able to compete, have some, you know, fun competition, and also still kind of push myself physically.
Sure, sure. So somewhere in there, let's fill in a gap. Where did you go to high school? Because I'm pretty sure it was Catholic, yes?
So I did go to a Catholic high school called Immaculate High School in Danbury, Connecticut. I went for 2 years. And then after my sophomore year, I really wanted to train more seriously for figure skating. And the rink that I trained at was almost an hour away. So I just was able to convince my parents to let me be homeschooled so that I could train during the day and not basically have to go to school the whole day and then drive an hour with my mom, because at that point I wasn't even driving. So I really depended on my mom, and having two other siblings who also had their own activities, it just wasn't really feasible for her to drive me to the rink every day.
Yeah. And I got to believe that the fact that your mom had been a figure skating coach for so long might have had something to do with it, but let's not miss this being an example of being very loving and supportive parents, because I think it would be easy for a mother or a father or both to tell their high schooler, oh no, no, you're going to school. And instead, they got behind you and said, all right, if this is what it takes for you to continue your studies, but also pursue the sport that you're obviously serious about, then we'll do what we need to do.
Absolutely. And I think for me, it was easier for me to step away from school than actually for my, I think mostly my mom, in the sense that she was worried I wouldn't have a graduation ceremony. I wouldn't get to walk. I wouldn't have prom, which I ended up actually being invited to prom. So I did get my prom experience. And so I think for my mom, my parents, just looking back, knowing the high school experience they had had, and then realizing that I wouldn't have those moments, I think was harder for them. And in hindsight, I don't regret it at all. And I also think the other part of it, and this sort of goes into what I was like as a figure skater, which was a perfectionist. With school, I was also extremely dedicated to making sure I got straight A's. So they knew that if I was homeschooling, that they wouldn't even have to really have any sort of involvement with me, because they knew that I would just get the work done.
Yeah.
Because I was a perfectionist, which I don't necessarily advocate for. But at that time in my life, I was really wrapped up in this idea that I had to be perfect to be loved. And so that permeated my athletics and my academics.
Wow. Wow. My knee-jerk reaction is to guess that figure skating would be a sport where you have a lot of time to maybe actually be prayerful and talk to God while you're on the ice. But then I also think about the precision involved and the depth of concentration that the sport demands. And I start thinking maybe that's not the case after all. So can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I think it depends on whether you're practicing or you're about to perform. Those moments before you're competing or performing and your name is called and you have that time to get to your opening position, absolutely they're quiet. And it's really pretty amazing when you look around and you're on the ice alone and there's all these other people and everyone's quiet. And that can be an amazing moment for prayer. In practice, I absolutely believe that conversation with God can be part of that. But I wasn't at that place, I don't think, when I was training. I was way more caught up in how people, worrying about what people thought of me, not wanting to practice a move that I wasn't great at because then someone would make fun of me if it looked silly, which is kind of a funny reasoning, because if I don't practice the things I'm weak at, they're not going to get better.
Yeah.
But it is, for those who do individual skating or even pairs or dance, which I did ice dance, which is with a partner for a little while, you're very much, I don't want to say you're an island, but it can feel like you're an island. And so in hindsight, I think if I had a stronger faith during the time that I was training, I would have actually been a much better skater.
Mm. I like your point, though, about being in practice. And if that's a time when you're going to work on something that you're not strong at, then people should give you some grace and say, that's why we're practicing. But I'm sure that at a young age, it is very easy for a young athlete to get caught up in what are other people going to think if I don't nail this.
Absolutely. And the ice rink can feel like a fishbowl because there's all these glass windows around it and people will just walk by and stop or sit in the stands to watch. And I always wanted them to, like, I'm talking about people I don't even know, complete strangers.
Yeah.
And I would always want them to think that I was a good skater. And that was a mindset that I think I probably still struggle with to some degree, but it was so pervasive when I was a teen that it made for me, for a lot of times, it made practice not super enjoyable because I was just concerned with making sure people saw me in a positive light.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I want to make sure the audience understands how accomplished you are in your sport. In the intro, I said that you are a U.S. figure skating quadruple gold medalist. Explain exactly what that entails.
So U.S. figure skating is our governing body in the U.S., and they have a testing structure. So in order to compete, you have to take tests to compete at certain levels. And so the highest level, which is what you would see at the Olympics, is called senior. And so there's different types of skating where you can attain the senior level. So for example, you see ladies at the Olympics, they've, from the US at least, they've passed at least two senior level tests in order to be able to compete there. If you look at para skaters, they had to at least have passed two tests as well. So basically within skating, there's multiple ways that you can get a senior test. There's different disciplines, I guess you could call them. And I kind of compare it to a black belt in karate. So I had the gold/senior level passed in four different disciplines. And it's funny, I wish there's like a fifth one that I'd really, really have to go back and really train for, but I don't know that that's important enough to me right now. But yeah, that's the easiest thing for people to understand is it's a level of, I don't want to say it's mastery because it is the highest level of testing, but it doesn't mean that you're a master by any stretch.
Sure.
And, but it is a mark of achievement for sure.
Indeed. Indeed. And folks, if I sound like I'm pretty fascinated with, and I'm going a little heavy on the figure skating questions, well, I guess it is the case. I do try to get a healthy mix of men and women from across various sports and various roles in those sports, which you actually heard just last week with Kent Lowe from LSU, who actually spent probably more time talking about bowling and even Louisiana Downs racetrack than he did men's basketball at LSU. My attempts to get a diverse lineup of guests is just a small example of some of the work that I'm doing off the air, behind the scenes, if you will, as part of my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. It's all in an effort to move more people closer to Christ. If me talking about the mix of faith and sports is what gets someone to go back to church or to maybe start being more engaged in the Mass, if they are already going, just to check the box, or if it gets them more involved in their local parish, then praise God for using me as the vehicle to move that individual in his or her faith life. This is definitely a calling for me and by no means should be confused with being my job. In fact, I actually don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors, which does make it quite difficult with all the expenses that come with running Catholic Sports Radio. I try my absolute best to report to you on the air specific costs when another bill comes in so you know specifically what I'm up against. I ask for your consideration of a financial contribution because I otherwise have to try to find a way out of my own pocket to tackle all these costs. You have heard me on past episodes thank guests and listeners alike who have contributed to Catholic Sports Radio. If you find value in all that I'm doing through this ministry, if you feel you're getting something out of the work that I'm doing through Catholic Sports Radio, if it's helping you in your faith life, if you believe in these efforts to impact people through the mix of faith and sports, I would kindly ask you to help me out. As part of your tithing, do please prayerfully consider a financial contribution. You can use the blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. It's fast, it's safe, it's secure, and you type in whatever amount you're comfortable with. There's no drop-down menu of amounts to choose from. Or if you're not comfortable with electronic payments, just send me an email via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will write you back with details on sending me a check through the mail. I will happily say on the air the name of anyone who contributes, regardless of the amount, or as some have asked me to do, you can instead choose to remain anonymous. I'm truly grateful to everyone who listens, and I appreciate whatever you can do to help me continue working to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. In a minute, I want to get into all the Catholic writing that Victoria does, but first, there is a very popular book called 33 Days to Morning Glory. In fact, my wife and I have even used it to do something that, Victoria, you have done twice. Share with the audience what I'm referring to and what moved you to not only carry that out, but as I said, to do so twice.
So it's a consecration to Mary, and I first heard about it, I believe I had already retired from skating, so I definitely would have loved to have had this when I was competing, because I think it would have been really helpful and would have put things in perspective. But basically, the book 33 Days to Morning Glory by Father Gately is 33 days of different passages that you're reading. And at the end, you consecrate yourself to Mary, and there's a prayer. And I have done that twice. And it's funny, it's one of those things where when I do it, I'm like, this is so great, and I want to do this again. And then it's like somehow you realize, oh my goodness, a lot of time has passed since the last time that I did the full consecration. And so I'm thinking that right now as I'm chatting with you, because I believe actually the last time I did the consecration was right before I got engaged. And that was almost 4 years ago now. So the consecration to Mary, I find to be challenging, actually, but in a good way, because it's kind of like, and Bruce, I mean, tell me your thoughts on this too, but you're sort of surrendering your desires to Mary and saying, whatever you think is best for me, you know, Jesus, you know, your son. And I struggled for a little bit with, well, why do we go to Mary before we go to Jesus and that kind of thing? But the more that I've read about it, the more I've come to really appreciate what it is, and the idea that maybe I just need to ask Mary to really take over and intercede for me.
Yeah, that's right. The intercessory part is the aspect that I focus on. And I do want to mention for the audience, if you're not familiar with this process, it does end on a specific day, so that you go to Mass that day and then you tell the priest after morning Mass, I just completed my consecration to Mary, and then he will kind of finalize that for you. It's not some big fancy ceremony. We chose to bring a small Mary medal with us. So it's something that you can kind of personalize, but at the same time, it does feel very intimate because you are going to the mother of our Savior. And Victoria, as you're saying, you know, you do kind of feel that you are, I don't want to say accountable to her, but a much, much deeper, more intimate connection with her through it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's something that I think only, I remember January 1st, I think it was 2017. And I think January 1st is, it's some holy day of obligation related to Mary. And I'm just totally blanking right now. But I remember, so I think it was 2017, and the homily, the priest was saying to really get to know Mary that year. And it was interesting because, like I said, I've been Catholic my whole life, but I hadn't, up until that homily, I had never made it a priority or really thought about getting to know Mary. And I feel like that homily just really kickstarted things for me and got me interested, and was ultimately an invitation. And I'm so glad that I was there to receive that.
And again, if anyone is looking to find more out about this, the book is called 33 Days to Morning Glory. And then, as I've mentioned a couple times now, Victoria, you have two books out of your own and another one coming in September. Share with the audience about what you have written.
So I've written a couple novels. So the two books that are already out and the third one that's coming are part of a trilogy that I've written. And I would put it in the contemporary Catholic fiction realm. And so it's mainly, I would say most of my readers are women, but certainly I invite men to read it as well. I've had definitely had some male readers, including my neighbor across the street who read it. He said in one sitting and loved it. And so the stories are based around certain themes. And I would say the big sort of theme across all three books is forgiveness. But the first book specifically is about a young woman who goes to confession and realizes in confession in this new town that she's living in that the priest is her ex-boyfriend. Whoa. And there's a lot of back history that to that relationship, a lot of wounds that haven't been healed. There's some secrets. And so that is really the inciting incident that propels my character forward. Wow. To finally forgive herself, forgive him, and really move on in her life.
Wow.
And so There's obviously a lot more to the story, but that's the general idea.
Yeah.
And the major themes, again, being forgiveness.
Okay. Okay. And folks, on the show page for this episode at CatholicSportsRadio.net, I will put a link to Victoria's website so you can go check out her books there, not to mention other content that she has at her website, such as a blog that she writes and more. Victoria, I'm curious, in the lead up to today, you mentioned that you go on annual Catholic retreats by yourself.
Yeah, so I will usually try to find some sort of retreat to go on, whether it's either directed or silent. And so over the last few years, one year I actually, I guess you could say it was more of a pilgrimage, but it was also, I feel like a retreat. And it was out at one of the national parks out west. And it was led by a Catholic priest. And we had mass every day, and I didn't know anyone that was there. So that was really fun, honestly, to just meet a ton of new people. And I was the youngest person by at least 30 years. But I love that because I feel like I just get to hang out with people who have so much more wisdom than I do. And it was so much fun. And then since then, I've gone to a couple other retreat centers for different, whether it's silent retreat or a directed retreat. And I really love it. Though now that I'm a mom, I became a mom this year, the idea of going on a retreat and being away from my baby for a night just sounds terrible to me because I would miss her so much. So I'm currently discerning whether I'm going to continue to go on a one night or two night retreat with a young baby, if that's what I'm being called to.
Well, as we head into the home stretch here, let's do two things. Clarify for us, are you still active in figure skating or no? And then also, do you have one highlight or one favorite story from all your time in figure skating?
So I am still involved, although not very regularly. I didn't skate throughout my pregnancy, but I did actually perform in a show 4.5 months after giving birth.
Wow.
And that was something where I literally was able to learn the choreography with I was part of an ensemble and I was able to learn the choreography over the course of a couple days. And then the show culminated on a Sunday night. And so that was my entrance back into skating after giving birth. And so I'm very grateful that there's a lot of opportunities around here to figure skate on a much more recreational level, but still perform. So I probably will take advantage of some, but definitely it's not something that I do weekly anymore.
Sure.
And then as far as a favorite memory, that really is a hard question because there have been so many times where I've just felt so grateful. And so it's hard to just pinpoint one. I think one that sticks out to me was I somehow got invited to skate at the private residence of the founder of Domino's Pizza.
Wow.
And he's in Michigan, and I believe he founded Ave Maria University.
Yes, I believe you're right.
And so he was having this event to sort of promote the school, and they have an outdoor rink at their house. And so I was invited to skate there. And when I agreed to skate, I didn't even know the name of where I was going or anything. I just was like, hey, can you skate at this private party at someone's house? And so when I found out who it was, I just was obviously very excited because, well, one, I love pizza, but also
who doesn't?
Because he's a Catholic. And so I just really enjoyed learning more about him. And I just felt cool, you know, that somehow my path, it sort of felt like my faith life and my skating life converged in that moment because I was someone at the time when I was living in Michigan, I was, you know, I loved listening to Ave Maria radio. And then somehow I get invited to skate at this party at his house. And so that was just a really cool moment for me.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. By the way, I don't know that I have any reason to believe that you ever had any real injury issues. Is that the case? Have you been blessed that You've not had to overcome any kind of adversity of that nature throughout your skating career?
You know what? I actually did have a few injuries. One in particular where I was in a back brace for 5 months.
Mm.
And that was when I was 17, 18 years old. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is I look back and I actually see that as such a blessing because it took me outside of the skating world. And I was at college and getting to know people and getting into circles that didn't involve skating.
Mm.
And that really actually helped me to see that skating wasn't everything and that there's plenty of people who go about their daily life that don't even think about it. And so I feel like that actually helped me so much to realize that my identity wasn't in sport. And certainly my love for figure skating was, in the grand scheme, our love for sports is a good thing. It can be a way to glorify God. But I realized through the time that I was off the ice that there is more to this life and that my value as a person really didn't come from my results and that there were people who wanted to be friends with me regardless of anything to do with my skating.
Mm.
And that was such a gift for me to experience that. And interestingly, when I got back on the ice after those 5 months off, I feel like I got right back to it very quickly and it didn't feel like I'd been off the ice for 5 months. It's like I had done some growing as a person and approached the ice in a new way, so to speak. And so I'm very grateful.
Wow. Amen. Nicely said. Nicely said. I want to close by having you share about your marriage, meaning when you entered the sacrament of holy matrimony, how you had met your husband and your involvement at the parish that you belong to.
Yeah. So funny thing is, when I was growing up figure skating, I always thought that I would meet my husband, like he would see me ice skate and be like, wow, she's so amazing. I have to know her. We got to get married. And so I always saw my skating as a ticket to maybe meeting someone, which is not what happened at all. So I met my husband on Catholic Match and we got married in August 2019. So been married about 3 years. And I'm so grateful for that website because I was often lamenting before joining the site that I wasn't meeting guys in general in my daily life that were Catholic and that wanted to go to church regularly.
Mm.
And so actually a mother of one of my really good skating friends said, you should just try one of those, Christian or Catholic dating websites.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? I should. I don't know why I'm being so prideful about wanting to meet someone in real life, but let me just cast my net and see what happens. And yeah, within 2 months of, maybe 2 or 3 months within that joining Catholic Match, I was talking to my husband and, we got engaged a little after 2 years after we had started dating.
And share with the audience about what you're doing at your parish while we're on the subject of holy matrimony.
Yeah, so we got invited to do marriage prep, I think because we had volunteered to do confirmation class to teach that this past year.
Mm.
And so we got invited to teach at marriage prep. And honestly, it was so much fun. And I feel like being asked to do marriage prep is really a gift for us because it's like we get to go through it again and we get to really talk, have this set aside time to talk about different things that these engaged couples are talking about. And so we're excited to hopefully do marriage prep again this fall. And I just love seeing the couples that are about to get married. It's just such an exciting time. And I just am so grateful for it. And I just think it's so beautiful for people to commit their lives to each other. It's just like you're writing a blank check. And I just think that commitment is just so beautiful. And I'm just inspired by people who make that commitment.
Amen. Amen. Well, I also want to send congratulations. I know you have a 6-month-old. You mentioned that you became a mother for the first time in 2022. So congratulations and God bless you and your family. Thank you so much. I've enjoyed having you on the show. Victoria, I appreciate you making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio.
Thanks, Bruce.
Absolutely, absolutely. And folks, as a nod to all the years that Victoria has spent as an athlete, let's close this week's episode with an athlete's prayer and pray, of course, together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Help me to play the game, dear Lord, with all my might and main. Grant me the courage born of right, a heart to stand the strain. Send me a sense of humor, Lord, to laugh when victory is mine, to laugh if I should meet defeat without a fret or whine. Give me the grace to follow rules, to fess up when I'm wrong, when silence or some other thing wins plaudits from the throng. When foes are tough and fighting fierce and I am getting weak, dear God, don't ever let me show a broad, bright yellow streak. And teach me, Lord, life's game to play just one day at a time. With Thee as coach and trainer, Lord, real victory must be mine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.